The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Okay, super. Sit down. Go down. Go down. Sit down. Go down. Go down. Go down. Good. Go down. Super. Good. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Now, thank you. Brother Bachman, thank you so much also. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Thank you very much. God bless you. You got it out? We're done, right? It's done. Okay. No, you got started that again. Okay. Acts chapter 27. There we go. Getting the Bible. You'll stop. There it is. Acts chapter 27. It's been a good conference. Thank you so much again for coming. Even our young people, you did a tremendous job in coming. Thank you so much for being here. You could have had a choice also to stay home. You chose not to. You came, you showed up, and God has done some tremendous, tremendous works in her life. You know, it's one thing to be introduced, I guess, by someone that knows you in public. It's another thing to be introduced by somebody that knows you not only in public, but in your private world. And that meant a lot to me for my son. He knows not just the not just the assets that we are, but he also knows all of our liabilities. And for him to be able to get up and speak as well, and I do appreciate that very, very much. Love my family. If you were over in the leaders' session today, we talked about rearing godly families and how you do that and some integral things that needs to be done for those that's in the ministry. We lose our children all too often. And once we lose them, here's what happens. Sometimes we never even know how to get them back. That's a sad thing that we don't operate according to some just practical common sense things that can help us to retain our children. Acts chapter 27, let's all stand as we read verse 30, 31, and 32. The Bible says, and as the shipmen were about to flee, it says, out of the ship. When they had let down, now watch this very significantly here, when they let down the boat into the sea. All right, so here they are. There's the tempestuous sea that's hitting the ship. They now are almost in a complete panic attack. They get ready to let down the lifeboat outside of the ship. Notice verse 31, the Bible says, and Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers, watch this very carefully, cut, it says, off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, show us, Father, a truth that could change our lives. You've been very good to us this week. Lord, it's been a blessing to me. I have friends standing behind a pulpit that I've known for a long time, know their lives, know everything that a man could know about them, and I have and do. Thank you for their testimonies. Thank you for how they use them in their respective places. Now, bless tonight, we do pray. Speak to hearts. Again, I ask you, please, to change lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, if you will. I'm going to get our ushers to help us out a little bit, and up in the balcony as well as down here, there should be a blue container up there to pass this out, if you will, and go ahead and pass this out. Make sure everybody gets one. Once you take that, put it in your Bible. It's going to be a reminder tonight. I won't be long. I do realize what time it is. We've had a lot going on tonight, so I'm not going to be very, very long, but I want you to catch a truth tonight about what was happening in this particular chapter of the book of Acts in chapter 27. The Bible talks about here is Paul. Of course, Paul is now in a journey, if you will. He is under guard. He has centurion soldiers around him. He's going to be delivered to Caesar to be judged. He's being sent there by King Agrippa. And you'll understand this, is as they're en route, as they start to take off, you'll see that Paul gives a warning, and he says, don't do it. He says, it's going to be terrible traveling. It's going to be dangerous. Let's not do it. They did not heed his first warning. However, they did heed his second warning. And you'll see that Paul gives that second warning. In the midst, however, as he tells them, those of you that stay beside me, those that stay here in the ship, your life will be spared. He did not tell at any time the soldiers to cut the ropes of the ship. Never said one time that lifeboat cut the ropes. Never one time did he do that. I think that perhaps once the ship got tossed, if you'll see they were in a creek, they decided they're going to take the matter into their own hands. And the Bible teaches, if you will, that they found a place that was a creek. This is after they fasted for 14 days. Paul said, take a little bit of meat. He said, you're going to need your energy. And so he prayed. God blessed the food. He gave it to them. Verse 36, Acts chapter 27, the Bible says that they were all grateful about that. They cheered. They were excited. There was 276 men that was on the ship that day, and they were all elated at the fact that now they could eat a little bit. After that, they lightened the ship. According to verse 38, Acts chapter 27, they tossed the wheat out into the sea. And then the Bible says they saw this creek. And as they saw this creek that was coming closer to the shore, they decided that they would try to thrust the ship into the creek. So they were trying to solve their own problem. They were trying to make sure that that which was the ship was not going to sink, was not going to be destroyed. Well, when they took up the anchors, the Bible teaches in verse 41 that they were falling into a place where now the two seas were coming together. Very dangerous area. Now all of a sudden you'll see that it's moving, and it's moving out of control. The Bible says that the soldiers in verse 42 gave counsel to kill the prisoners lest they would escape, lest they should dive in and swim, and they escaped. Well, the Bible teaches also, but the centurion, be a great day. You open your Bible and study the centurion. He had a big role in what was taking place in Paul's life. Verse 43, the Bible says, but the centurion, willing to save Paul, says, and kept them, it says, from their purpose, and it says commanded that they that could swim, of course, would dive in and they would swim the land and etc. Then the ship began to break up. As the ship began to break up, you'll see that the rest of them that could not swim, could not retain that which was getting to the shore, all of a sudden they grabbed these broken pieces, they grabbed the broken boards, they grabbed all these things, and they escaped floating to the shore on broken pieces. Now, can I tell you, when it came the time for that which was to stay in the ship, and they obeyed by staying in the ship, none of the soldiers were told to cut that which was the lifeboat. None of the soldiers were told. You know, I think if they would have kept simply the lifeboat instead of cutting the rope, many of those that floated ashore could have went in the lifeboat. Nobody told them to cut the lifeboat. Now, here's a problem. You've got a great truth that was given to you. Maybe this week, you heard something changed your life forever. If you're not careful, you're going to go home and you're going to cut the rope. When you cut the rope, everything that you learn is going to be in despair, if you will, and not be received, not be adopted, not be that which is a purpose in your life. Let me give you just four ropes not to cut real quick. I promise you I'll be quick, but I want you to listen. Statement number one, there's the parent rope. There's the parent rope. God gave you some parents in your life. You say, but my parents aren't perfect. My parents weren't perfect either. But the Bible says that we're supposed to obey and to honor those parents. Children, it says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment, it says, with promise, that may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long, it says, on the earth. The Bible says over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, my son, hear, it says, the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Boy, I remember the day that I was coming up in a Roman Catholic home, and I remember the day I got saved. I remember receiving Christ as my Savior. I did not want to offend my parents. We were told we were not allowed to have a Bible in the house. We couldn't read the Bible. It was for private interpretation of the priest. And I loved my parents. And so oftentimes, I'd take my Bible, I'd go in the bathroom. And I'd sit in the bathroom, sometimes on the lip of that which was the bathtub, sometimes on the commode. And I'd open the Bible and I'd begin to read the Bible. It was the only place in the house that we had a lock that was on the door. So nobody could walk in, nobody could be offended, nobody could be hurt. And so I'd go in there late at night and I'd read my Bible. I'd lock that door and I'd sit down. I remember one night I was over there and it was in the corner and I was praying and I was kneeling down. And normally what I would do is I would close the commode lid and I would kneel down because it's the only place that there was a lot of room and comfortable, a very, very short type of a bathroom. And so I kneeled down and I'd begin to pray. And I remember this one night, for some reason, I just finished working at Dean's Restaurant. I came in late at night. I rode my bike home. I got there late at night, had not read my Bible yet, had not prayed, need God's help. And so I knelt down over the toilet to pray and the lid was up. And I fell asleep. And my head went into the toilet. Now, I was so glad that it was a clean night. But I remember the shock of waking up and having water all over my face. Now, wait a minute. What am I saying tonight? I'm saying that I was saved, but I didn't want to offend my parents. Wanted to help my parents. I went the extra mile to be a blessing to my parents. Now, wait a minute. I remember the day I got saved. I came home. One of them saved. My dad smoked tobacco. He put it in the pipe, and he had a smoker's stand. And I remember him sitting beside the smoker's stand. I'd put a track inside the smoker's stand. Back then, we had the milkman, this was years ago, deliver milk to the house. It was always in a glass container. And they'd deliver it outside. You'd take the milk inside, just a great, perfect adhesiveness. You could take a track and affix it to that milk glass container. And it would hold right there on the container. Everywhere my parents went, they got the gospel. I remember going to youth camp, and I came back, and my dad had all my luggage sitting on the patio. And he said, "We're tired of it. You're trying to push Jesus Christ down our throat, and we're just tired of it. We're tired of it up to here. As far as we're concerned, you can get your luggage, you can hit the road, you can go anywhere you want to, but you're not staying here." And I remember walking into that living room and crying as an 18-year-old boy. And I remember talking to my daddy and talking to my mama and saying, "Please, I want to be able to stay. And I promise I won't push it as hard. But I really have a burden for you to become a Christian and to be saved." Hey, I'm telling you, I loved my parents. My daddy would come home drunk on a Friday night, and he'd come in, and boy, he would hit us, and he would abuse my dear mother. But I tell you, I never thought bad of my dad. I loved my dad. I cherished my dad. I wanted to be close to my dad. And I'm saying tonight, if you've got parents, you ought to praise God that God has given you parents. But if you've got Christian parents, you ought to be thankful that God has given you Christian parents to be able to love and to be able to obey and to be able to watch and to be able to walk behind. I was listening to Brother Bachman as he's up here a few minutes ago. He's telling about his daddy. Did you catch that? Boy, he'd get up early in the morning, walk into the living room, and he'd see his daddy with his Bible open and he was reading the Bible. I thought, wow, to be able to have a dad that was saved that did something like that. What a tremendous testimony. To be able to walk outside and to be able to pray and not have somebody that was upset with you or not have somebody. But can I tell you, it doesn't matter what type of background you come from. God can use you. I remember coming home and having all these things that was going on. And I started taking my Bible to the public school because I could read it there. Back then, you wouldn't get in trouble. So I'd take my Bible to the public school and I would open it up on the lunch table and begin to read the Bible around the lunch table. And my public school friends would come around and those that were believers would sit down beside me and they'd open their Bible. Then one of them had the ingenious idea, "Let's start a Bible club." And I thought, that is great. Who should run it? And they said, "You." Well, I didn't know my Bible. I just got saved. How do you run a Bible club if you don't know the Bible? So I went to my pastor at that time, Dr. Smith, and I went to my pastor and I said, Pastor, you know, we need to start a Bible club in our public school, and they've asked me to kind of head that up, but I don't know nothing. These kids were coming, they were sitting around the public school table, and they would ask me Bible questions, and yet they were in Christian churches, and I didn't know anything. So I go back to my pastor and say, they're asking this question. I'd write it down on a 3x5 card, and I'd take it back to my pastor, and I'd say, Pastor, what's the answer to this one? And he'd write it down. I'd go back and tell them the answer. They thought I knew the Bible real well. So they thought since I was answering all their questions, I would be the one that would start the Bible club because I knew the Bible better than they did. But it wasn't me that knew the Bible better than they. It was my pastor that knew the Bible better than they. And all I was taking that which was the word that God gave me back to that which was the public school. But what I'm saying is this. I'm saying that you can have saved parents and serve God. You can have unsaved parents and serve God. There's no limitation as how God can and will use you. We got people in our church that just got saved and they're happy about it. We have people in our church that's been saved for over 40 years. They're happy about it. We have people that are faithful at soul winning and they didn't come up in a home where they were encouraged and they were excited, but they're faithful. And we got people in our church that came up in it and they've learned it all the days of their life and they're excited and they're thrilled to be able to serve God. But I'm saying, listen, if you've got saved parents, understand that's a rope. Thank God for them. You got a daddy that encourages you to be in church. Thank God for that. You got a mama that encourages you to be in church. Thank God for that. You've got a bus captain that encourages you to be in church. Thank God for that. You've got somebody in your life that is holding that which is a rope in your life. You thank God for that. Statement number one, I'm saying that there is the parents that hold a rope. Don't cut your parents off. You say, but preacher, they're not perfect. You're not either. But they are still an authority in your life. They are who God gave you in your life. And when you have those parents that's in your life, when you have trouble, you run to that parent. And that saved parent can say some things that can help you and be able to show you a direction in which to go. By the way, I've never met a perfect parent. I said as I was teaching over in the leaders class, I said, I remember the day when Brother Jonathan and I seemed like we were growing farther apart. And I remember the day when we were in Crowley, and all of a sudden, Mrs. Wells had to go with Mrs. Hall to the hospital she was having. I don't know what it was. Child number 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10, I'm not sure. They had a lot of children. I found a house, and Jonathan and I went in that house, and I looked at Jonathan. I said, son, I don't know what it is. Now, you stay with me very carefully tonight. But I said, son, I don't know what it is, but there's a wall between you and me. I can't put my finger on it. I have no idea what it is. And I said, but if I've done something as a dad that has hurt you and that's caused a division between you and I want you to know I'm sorry. And I ask that you forgive me. He started to cry and he said, Dad, it's not you, it's me. And he said, I'm not right with the Lord. And he started to cry and we started to talk with each other and God began to melt our hearts together on that specific night. Do you know that with the children that I have and Mrs. Wells has, we may not be perfect parents, but I can tell you one thing, we're close to our kids. We walk beside our kids in troubled times. We walk beside our kids when our kids are on a high. We walk beside our kids when our kids are doing all the right things. We walk beside our kids when their kids don't always do all the right things. And we're there as parents to be able to help them. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you got parents that way, don't walk away from them. Walk to them. If you got a parent in your life that loves you and is trying to help you, don't spit in their face. Don't try and be mean to them. Rise up and call that dear mother blessed and thank God for her. I'm saying that there's a rope tonight that you ought not to cut, and that's the rope of the parents. Statement number two, there's the rope of the pastor. You know, pastors are not perfect people either. You might have a youth director here tonight, and he represents your pastor, and he might not be perfect either. You might have a Sunday school teacher that stands in a Sunday school class that represents the pastor, and he or she might not be perfect either. But can I tell you that you need pastors in your life? You need somebody that will help you, that will guide you, that will take you the right direction. Let me show you something. Let me get to, Brother Rook, would you come here a minute? And let's say that you are the parent. Here you are. So you're the parent, if you will. And just kind of hold. You could probably just hold it here without the rope. And let's say, Ryan Wilson. Where's Ryan at? Where's Ryan? Come here. Would you come here? That's fine. Let's do it this way. All right, now watch this, if you will. Okay, watch this. So we got a parent. Let's say we also have a pastor. You come over and hold this. Now you got two people in your life that will help you. You've got a parent in your life that will help you. Now you got a pastor in your life that will help you. When you have a parent in your life that will help you, you might think that that's it. That's all you need. But if you can also be fortunate enough to have a pastor in your life, that helps you too. And you know, when they cut those ropes, it was not just cutting one rope, but it was cutting several ropes that held up the boat. And so there was a time when they decided, I'm cutting this one and I'm cutting this one. And the more authorities that you cut in your life, the less likely you are to be able to make it to the other side of the shore in that which is a less hurtful matter. I'm saying that you need people in your life that will help you. Here's what it says. The Bible says over in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11, the Bible says, and shall feed his flocks like a shepherd, and shall gather his lambs with their arms, and carry them in his bosom, and he shall gently lead them that are with the young. So what's he saying here? He's saying that that pastor can lead. Not only that, there's somebody else, and that is this. Dale Cavanaugh, come and help me if you will, and you'll see that there's principles to guide your life. Principles. Now watch this, if you will. You heard good principles this week. You heard principles that would guide you for the rest of the days of your life. You heard principles about music this week. Principles about dress this week. Principles. Now, come on. All of a sudden you go home, and the Bible says that you're supposed to keep yourself pure. Is that right? Now, if you go home, and all of a sudden there's a boy, and boy, he begins to pucker. You know, he comes up and he says, boy, I'd like to be able to touch you, and I'd like to be able to get sugar from you. And he begins to pucker. I tell our kids, tell him to pucker real good. Tell him to close his eyes because it's going to be good. And then take your shoe off and let him have it so it is real good. Knock him into Indiana or something. But I'm saying this, when you have principles in your life, here's what I'm finding out about our Christian school, and I love Christian schools, but I find out about our Christian schools is this, we abide by the rules, and then when we get out, they're gone. Because nobody ever teaches the why. I find this out. I find that a young lady that doesn't know what the Bible teaches about dress, here's what she'll do. She'll start dressing shorter and shorter and more sensual and more sensual. Because she's following a pattern that is not a scriptural pattern. I find the boys that would do the same thing. Boy, they'll follow this fad. They'll follow that fad. They'll go out and they'll get their hair spiked up in different colors. And they'll follow all sorts of dress pattern. And you can find out where they're getting it from simply by knowing what type of people dress that way. And there's no principle. You know, when we come to church, it ought to be a place where we can dress up. And not feel ashamed of it. And enjoy coming to church. Look, if you can say a shout at a ball game, you ought to be able to shout amen in church. And be excited about church. Because if you start losing your shout, here's what takes place. Somebody else is going to shout louder than you are. Can I tell you the world is not rolled over and played dead just because you came to church tonight? Do you realize that when you get out of this place, the world's waiting for you? Do you realize that? Boy, I preached many a youth camp, and a teenager came up to me, and she was crying, and she said, "Preacher, I don't want to go home. I don't want to go home. I've never seen my daddy. My mom is a drug addict. My brothers are sleeping around with everything that walks. Rock music all in the house. Liquor everywhere. I don't want to go home." Now, do you realize that most of you in this room tonight, you don't have that? Most of you that is in this room tonight, you can rise up and call yourself blessed because maybe your daddy and mama, maybe they're not perfect and maybe they don't do everything that you want them to do. But I'm telling you tonight, if you got a mama and you got a daddy that loves God, you ought to say thank God for them. And God has placed a rope inside of your life, and that rope inside of your life will change you forever. There is that which is the parent. There's that which is the pastor. But then there has to come a time. Now, I love you in the Lord, but be honest with you. The parent one day will die. My precious mother died when she's 54. My daddy died when he was 57. My older brother just died this past year, age 57. So my relatives, they kind of die young. Now, may I tell you this? May I tell you that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? And I'm glad they got saved. I'm glad that somebody took a Bible and named Shelton Smith and showed my mama how to get saved, and she bowed her heart and she received Christ. And I'm glad that my daddy had a childhood friend that he bowed his heart and he received Christ. And I'm so glad that my brother's son came over, Sean, and was able to get my brother to receive Christ as saved. And all my siblings, all my brothers, they're saved. Well, I'm glad about that. But may I say tonight that if you've got parents that are saved and they're trying, give them credit and don't cut the rope. If you got a pastor and he's trying, hey, give the guy some slack and don't cut the rope. You got principles in your life and you know they're godly and you know they're right and you know that God has put them in your life. Don't cut the rope. I was just a young Christian. I made a decision that I was going to stay pure all the way to marriage. Now my precious wife walked down that aisle. Woo! I was so excited. I was so excited that we could embrace for the first time, kiss for the first time, hold hands for the first time, and I saved myself for her. Now wait a minute, what was that? Principle. Here's what I think a problem is, though. We come to church, and as we come to church, we kind of walk in. We don't walk in excited. We got more people in churches that are dressing down than up. Now, I'm not trying to get on to anybody, but I could be honest with you. I can't remember ever going to church without a tie. Not one day in my life. But it seems like that people make a lot of excuses. Well, you know, I just can't do that anymore because I work. We all work. But the way you are, somebody else will follow. Boy, I remember, though, seeing people who come to church and they get more casual and they get more casual. And before you know it, they show up later and later. And then they sit in the chair. Or they sit, if you would please, in a pew. And they get down. They get all relaxed. It's like in their living room. You know, ooh, look at the watch. Man, it's getting late. Wish he'd hurry up and shut up. Wow, I'm bored. Wonder what my girlfriend's doing right now. Man, I wish he'd hurry up. I got a movie to watch. Woo, I can't wait, can't wait, can't wait. All right, wait a minute. When we ought to be excited about coming to church, be excited about God doing something. Come on. I remember sitting under Brother Williams many years ago. Brother Williams was in his 60s, and I don't believe my wife could attest to the fact, but I don't believe I ever heard Brother Williams raise his voice much ever in his life. Very seldom would he come down off the platform. Very seldom would he ever do that. He would enter into the pulpit. He'd talk kind of monotone. Every once in a while, he'd say, "Hey!" Then you knew, okay. And then he'd speak for a while. All right, now, wait a minute. But you know, we learned a lot of Bible principles through that dear man of God. You know what he was? I'll tell you what he was. He was a rope. Let me give you one last thing and I'm done. There's the position that God's called you to. Now the Bible says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That means a change of mind. God is not going to change his mind about what he has called you to do. I've seen some young people surrender to preach, and can I tell you for sure, they have stayed with it. Now, they might not be as exciting as some are. And they might not have all the acrobatics when they preach, nor the vernacular when they speak. But yet, God uses them. Can I say, it's not about you, it's about him working in you and through you that makes the difference. It is very important that you do not lay down the position in which God has called you. God's called you to do something. Then you answer that call and you stay with it. But preacher, I don't feel adequate. Doesn't matter if you're adequate or not. You do what God has called you to do. Boy, I've preached for Rick Martin several times in the Philippines. And I love Brother Martin. If you were to see Brother Martin, you would see a man that was very thin. You would see a man, if you would please, that doesn't look like he has a lot of energy. Yeah, but he only runs about 4,000. And here's a man that has given himself to the Lord. Completely to the Lord. And so by doing, God has placed his hand. See, it's not about flair. It's not about poise. It's about surrender. You know, there was Jonathan Edwards that got up and read sermon, the sinners in the hands of an angry God. And God poured out his power and people got saved. Can I tell you, it's not about your personality that God will use. It is about your surrender. And when you surrender to God, God will begin to use you. But you've got to decide that you're going to be the right type of person that listens to that godly parent and that listens to that godly pastor and that has those principles in your life. Then you have to decide that you're not going to be one. Kenny, come up here and help me if you will. You're not going to be one that would give up when it comes position. God has called you. Stay with the calling God has for you. Well, preacher, if I go home and I tell them I'm called to be a missionary, they'll make fun of me. Doesn't matter. What matters is, do you please him? That's what matters. But preacher, you just don't understand. I don't think I can do it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God can use you in any area of your life. Come here, if you will. No, right here. Come here, watch this. You can take and be a young man tonight. You can say, here's what I'm going to do. Hop in there. I'm going to take and allow these ropes to help hold me up. I'm going to find a safe haven, if you will. And that which is being obedient to that which is a parent, to a pastor, that which is a principal, that which is a position. You know what happens? All of a sudden now, those waves begin to hit. All of a sudden now those waves begin to tear apart that ship. Instead of them saying, well, I tell you what, let's just cut that boat off. We won't need it. Don't cut it off. You're going to need it. You're going to need a time where you can go and talk to your dad or you can talk to your mom. Don't cut them off. You're going to need a time when you can go and you can talk to your pastor or that leader that is in your life, in your church. Don't cut him off. You're going to need to have some principles in your life. Don't cut them off. You're going to need to be able to have a position in your... Don't cut that off. Well, preacher, I don't feel adequate. I just don't think I can do it. I was in high school. I stuttered. Oh, it was really bad. I get up and I just begin to stutter and it just would not come out. They made me take a speech therapist class my senior year, and how embarrassing was that? You know, here I am, I'm captain of this team and I'm leader of this team, and I begin to stutter and to stammer, and people would laugh at me, and then they put me in this class with a bunch of 7th and 8th and 9th graders, and just me and one other guy that was upperclassmen, and I'd be in that class and I'd begin to talk and I'd begin to stammer and stutter and people would laugh. Then when I went to Bible college, God started talking to my heart, speaking to my heart about surrendering to preach. I didn't want to do that. I thought, you know, if I do that, people's going to laugh at me. Boy, I don't want to be laughed at. But did you know what God did? God began to take that away. Now I only stammer and stutter all of a sudden when something comes up and the brain goes in neutral, which is very seldom. Can I say this? God can take and change you. God can work in your life. But you've got to have some ropes in your life. That rope of a parent, don't cut it off. That rope of a pastor. Those principles you put in your life this week, don't cut them off. Don't cut them off. Those positions that God has called you to be a missionary, don't cut it off. Don't cut it off. Called you to be a pastor or a pastor's wife or a Christian educator, don't cut it off. You keep it with you all the days of your life. And can I tell you, if you decide to please God all the days of your life, when you die, you're going to die a happy person. Watch this. If they simply would have kept the boat, they wouldn't have to float in on broken pieces. If they simply wouldn't have gotten in a hurry. Well, God, if you don't do it now, well, go ahead, let's just cut it. Let's cut it. God, if you don't answer it now, cut it. What takes place when you start cutting and those things begin to go away? Later on, you may need them. You may need your parents. You may need your pastor. You may need, if you would please, some principles and some positions in your life. Amen. And by the way, when you get into a boat, it's a whole lot funner to have people to get into a boat. 276 men, I promise you, is probably a big boat. And so it was able to hold a lot of men. There's more fellowship in it than out of it. Watch this, and I'm done. Here it is. What if you say, I'm not going to, go ahead, go back to your seat. What if you say, look, I am not going to obey those godly parents? What if you say, okay, I don't care about that pastor, take off. I don't care about that pastor. I don't care about that. What if you say it doesn't matter about the principles? Doesn't really matter. Man, I tell you what, I don't care what position I have. I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. I want my page, not God's page. And I just let it drop. What happens when that safety boat gets cut, all of a sudden it just goes out there all by itself. Soon it gets some water in it. Soon it begins to sink. Before you know it, it's gone. Don't let that be you. Don't decide, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to make it all by myself. You can't. Now, I love you as young people, but I'm telling you, you can't. That's why God gave you a parent. That's why God gave you a pastor. That's why God gave you principles. That's why God gave you positions in life, because you cannot make it by yourself. Most of you know David Lee was the guy that led me to Christ. 16, I was 18. He discipled me. He helped me. He called me on the phone. He got me in church. He sat beside me in church. And it's because a teenager that I became somebody that was faithful to the entire cause of Christ. A teenager. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that there's some people that need you not to cut your lifeboat. Don't cut your ropes. Keep your ropes. You've heard a lot from speakers here in the youth conference. Don't cut your ropes. Keep your ropes. Take that thing, put it in that Bible, and say, okay, this is a reminder. I'm always going to be faithful to be able to serve my parents, serve the pastor, serve the youth director, serve the Sunday school teacher. I'm going to be faithful to the cause of Christ to obey those principles. I'm going to be faithful to the cause of Christ to stay with the position that God has given me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.